in Podcast Detroit, recording live. Prepare yourself for a hoppy drive. If you're chilling at home, pop that growler and just kick back for the next 2 hours. It's the end of the week, so here's to the weekend. It's Better on Draft with Rob, Matt, Nick, and Ken.
I already messed it up already.
That's right, Better on Draft. Wow, I am loud. Podcast episode, going to be Dry January episode number one. We are, in fact, doing a special because there is a lot more in regards to the beer and alcohol world than just the actual physical alcohol itself. Mm. My name is Ken, in studio with Nick. Nick, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, sir.
What did you have a New Year's resolution?
My wife and I, we don't do resolutions. We actually do just goals.
What's your goal?
One of the goals is, go to the gym 12 times every month. That's one of them.
All right.
I was pretty successful in it last year. Another one, I wear a Fitbit. I usually try and get 15,000 steps 15 times every month. I almost got that. I lost it towards the end of last year, so I dialed it down to 12.5.
We just live a life of metrics.
I know.
We metrics our gym time. We metrics our steps.
Yeah. But those are just a couple. I have like six or seven of them.
So be honest. Mm-hmm. It is January 10th. Have you had any alcohol this month?
I have not. I have not had anything since New Year's, since the one night you came over to my brother and sister-in-law's house for a little bit. That was the last time I had a drink. So what is this date? Was it the 10th?
Yeah.
I have gone 10 days without any alcohol.
It's a start.
Yep. Wow. Impressive.
Yep.
Ed, what's going on?
Not much, man. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, too. You brought yourself a few little things to to drink.
I did.
Well, Nick's got a little Faygo Cola.
I brought my... I'm bringing back my inner Juggalo. Your inner
We're going back to Ed. What are you drinking right now?
Good idea.
Right now I got the hoppy refresher from Lagunitas. So
I see a Big B logo.
I do. I stopped by Big B and they now have kombucha.
Really?
Oh. Yep. 0.5% alcohol in it. So light, you know, that's technically alcohol or whatever.
Non-alcoholic.
Yeah. And then so I just picked up its strawberry vanilla, so, and then some stuff from Reputation as well. So
I went to Whole Foods. I was in Seattle this week, and typically when I go to a city and I'm there for 4 or 5 days, I'll stop at a Whole Foods or a Trader Joe's. I'll buy a bunch of groceries. That way, then I'm not blowing money on meal after meal, like fast food, Chick-fil-A, Starbucks, whatever. Like
right,
I just
right.
have stuff at the place
sense.
To go, snacks and stuff, so I don't have to worry about, you know, overeating, because my problem is that I would forget to eat and then it'd be 11 o'clock and I'd want to go eat something.
Binge time.
Yeah. And of course, you know, the greatest things are open at 11 o'clock.
Duh.
Taco Bell.
Especially in Seattle.
Yeah. Well, I did get a little bit of that, which I may bring on another episode. I bought some THC drinks.
Uh-oh.
So what's interesting is that in regards to THC drinks, the ones that we've had before on the show were only 10 milligram drinks, but they were selling these like 100 milligram bottles, and
Jesus.
Some of them were 100 milligram THC, 100 milligrams CBD.
Wow.
Uh-oh. And,
oh, boy.
There was one that I saw, one brand that had a resealable cap, and I'm like, oh, that's perfect. You can do a shooter, you can do a shot, have a little bit, and you're perfectly fine. But these did not. And the guy was like, well, you could just put a wine cork in there, like a little rubber cork. I'm like, you know what? You are really smart. I should have thought of that myself.
I'll take five.
He's selling them for a reason, man.
Yeah, he was very – because I wanted just a 10-milligram one for myself. And I wound up buying the 100 one once he said that. I'm like, oh, you can do shots. So I'm actually drinking from Great Lakes Coffee Roasting Company. I got the cold brew, cold steeped coffee. What's great about this, one sugar, one carb. But going back to my story, I actually picked up hop tea from Whole Foods,
okay.
which you can get at all Whole Foods nationwide now. At least that's what the internet told
you
me.
You posted about that,
I
right?
I did.
Yeah.
So
I saw that on the
Facebook
page.
There was one with black tea that had hops in it. And if you've ever had black tea, it's a little harsh. It's a little bitter in regards to in the tea world. Usually for me, like I want a little lemon juice or a little lemonade.
Kind
of
cut it.
Yeah. Cut it a little bit, add a little sweetness to it, but it's mm-hmm. not sugar.
Sure.
And sure enough, like the hops mellowed it out and it was so good. 70 milligrams of caffeine per can, 16-ounce can. Okay. There is no carbonation, which was nice. No calories, no added sugar. It's literally tea, hops, water. That's
all
it.
Natural.
All natural.
That's awesome.
So nice. That means I'm still, I'm a month and a half from my last energy drink.
Right. Wow. Yep. I remember that. Yeah. Okay.
So this is going to be different though, because I've definitely cut a lot of sodas, colas, everything out of my life. And now we bring in, which is our guest, Jason from, is it Kazumara Club?
Yeah. Kazumara Club.
Kazumara Club.
You can pronounce it however you want.
I mean, as long as it gets your name out, right?
Yeah.
So you own Kazumara Club. What is it? Talk to us about it.
So we make leisure sodas, which is, to me, just a way of saying we make drinks for when you're not drinking. So in particular, the kind of four that we came out with and started selling here a little over a year now are... they're sparkling water, a few grams of sugar, some lemon juice, and a blend of bitters that sort of we designed to taste like Italian Amaro, which is like a botanical after or before dinner drink that tends to be pretty popular over there and has gained a lot of popularity over here.
Mm-hmm.
And was just something that I've been kind of obsessed with for years. And,
I hear the word bitters, and in the first place that jumps out to me that has bitters in their drinks was Willett Show Bar over there in Midtown.
I think that's considered Midtown.
Yeah,
you were there last year for the Golden Jiggers.
I was there for something last 18. Year, but not that.
Yeah, because 19 was over at the Shipping Container, but
I was
18,
at that one.
Yeah.
So my sister-in-law, she had a birthday there last year, and, you know, old-fashioned drinks, you know, kind of take a trip back to the roaring 20s and
sure.
30s. And
well, we are in the roaring 20s.
Well, the 2020s. Okay, the 1920s. Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, this decade's going to throw me off. And seeing all these old-fashioned drinks and seeing bitters, and I'm like, well, what the hell is that? You know, I'm, you know, going back, you know, I'm the college kid going through drinking Smirnoff and doing the old English and, you know, not the brass monkey, though, just old English.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so so whenever I see bitters, I associate it with something fancy. I don't know if that's something that's just – I don't know if that's just something that's in my mind or, I mean, I don't know. So
that's a, I don't know, that's a fun association and not one that, so for me, mm-hmm. I think my first exposure to bitters was, I mean, this was a while ago now, but like when Mad Men came out and suddenly everybody wanted to drink old fashions.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, ooh, what's that? And that was kind of my first sort of entree into, I don't know, that world. So I guess in that sense, it was like something that I saw as a fancy thing. But as I've sort of learned about it, like bitters were for a long time and in a lot of cultures around the world, were kind of the only medicine that we had for a long time.
Like your Robitussin of the 20s or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of you take something and what is it? It's like the mouthwash commercial, like it burns, so you know it's working.
Sure, right, okay, got it.
That sort of thing.
Gotcha.
And I think over the years, it's sort of evolved from being like more of a, it's evolved from being a medicinal thing to more of like a flavored culinary thing.
Mm.
And for me, kind of the, and I don't know how much historical accuracy there is to any of this, but for me, the sort of transition from like that sort of like bitters as medicine to bitters as flavor. I think it really starts in Italy.
Okay.
And you've also got like, so in an old fashioned, it's Angostura would be your standard bitters in there.
Okay.
But in Italy, you've got everything from, Campari, which is that bright red, liqueur that you might see in a bar.
Mm-hmm.
Even Aperol, for like an Aperol spritz is technically kind of sort of, it is a bitters.
Sure.
But yeah, kind of taking all of that and those influences and putting it into something that, I mean, for me, a good cocktail is always going to have a nice balance of like citrus and sweet and bitter, and kind of bringing all those flavors together.
Okay.
A good cocktail or even a lot of times a good beer more and more these days. Like,
sure.
Right.
Finding that, like, that one beer that really hits your palate all over.
Right. Kind of like the New England's, you know, the New England IPAs. You got your haze, you got the bitter, but then you got this little citrusy notes mixed in there. I mean, for a while, that was all the craze. It's kind of slowed down.
It's still the craze.
It's still the craze, but I feel like it's definitely not compared to what it was.
I think the explosion, at least in Michigan, the explosion of the New England IPAs really hit hard, and I still think there's a steady drinkability level of those New England hazes, but it's not like not everyone and their mother is making eight of them. They're just making six of them.
I guess that's not really saying much in the end.
Don't talk to Big Lake over in Holland because they got a bunch.
It's one thing, and I've talked to so many brewery owners about that, is that you need to go to where the market is. Mm-hmm. As much as you might not want to, or as much as you might want to fight it, you look at a brand that's been well known, you know, that Baffin launched. They launched Mango Unchained, and everyone loves it. And then they bring in Wicked Smut, and it just sells like hotcakes. And you're just like, you know, you put all this time, passion to make this amazing beer. And then they're like, oh, let's just make a New England IPA. And, you know, it's just going to sell because that's what people want.
Right.
So
right.
It's a balance of.
As I shake my head.
Yeah. It's a balance of getting, you know, what the market wants versus what you want to make. And a lot of brewers have that problem. And I think, you know, let's be honest, Travis had that problem over at Old Nation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're talking beer. How do you go into the, you know, the soda industry? Like, what prompts you to it? Because I know your history is a lot. It's definitely a story that you can start with. Because before the soda industry, you were a lawyer?
Yeah. I was a corporate lawyer for 5 years.
Took a turn here.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I don't look like anybody that could have done anything for 5 years, I don't think.
Come on. Give yourself more credit. It's the hair. We all have a lack thereof.
I guess
so.
they can't see how young I look.
Okay.
Because it's a podcast.
No, there's a camera.
There are cameras?
Yeah.
Look right here. As he does the hair thing.
Ah, yeah.
Let me do that too.
The 90210 hair. 90210 hair.
Do
going
I want it above the thing? But no. All
right. You're asking the wrong people.
That is so freaking cool.
Yeah, I was a corporate lawyer for a while. Most of my clients were in food and beverage, everything from like snacks to pH waters to restaurants to a few spirits brands.
Oh, wow.
And so I got to the end of, you know, 5 years of that, and I was like, I really want to just get out and do my own thing.
Sure.
I always kind of had this idea that I might. Part of the reason I wanted to be a corporate lawyer is so that I could maybe see what other people were doing, learn from some mistakes, and figure out kind of my own way into starting a business. And I get out of being a lawyer, and I realize I didn't know how to do anything other than be a lawyer.
Law school probably does that to you.
Yeah, it breaks your brain a little bit. But I did know just a little bit about sort of how some of these beverage companies were set up. Mm. And I had sort of an obsession with Amaro, that Italian liqueur we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe I'll go out and start my own of those. And I spent leading up to that point, I had spent a couple years just sort of playing around with recipes and trying to figure that out. But kind of found that the TTB, like the alcohol regulatory body in this country, is just such a pain to deal with, and I didn't want to deal with them. And I also started to notice that there were enough like American producers starting to do that, and I didn't feel like I really had anything interesting to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just started. I made a connection that now seems like. It's not really groundbreaking in any way, but I just hadn't thought about it this way before. That connecting sort of bitters and those, like, you know, bitters you just put a few drops in, and Amaro is something that you drink as kind of more of as like a liqueur, as a spirit. Mm. You drink it just like a glass of it.
Mm-hmm.
But this idea that they were kind of the same thing, that they were made in the same way. And so I started leaning into this idea of like, well, soda used to just be bitters and water and carbonation.
Right.
And then, you know, over the last 100, 150 years, they started adding, well, just a lot of sugar.
Yeah. Artificial stuff. Sweeteners and
fructose corn syrup.
Yep. Yeah. Never mind the Svego here.
Phosphoric acid in there.
Good call, man. Yeah.
So I take it you have none of that in your product at all.
We don't.
Well, let's. You want to start passing down some bottles and we can, sure. Can get a crack in?
Can I?
Ed? Yeah, I mean, you're the closest
I mean,
one.
Yeah, but it's not my product, so I feel kind of weird.
Wow.
You can bring
it's all
right.
They
us.
Can't see us, right?
So which one did you want to go with?
So I'd put all four in each of the four
packs. Oh,
okay. So
okay.
You just grab at random, and we can start where we start.
All right. All right, Ken. Get in there.
All right, so we got
four flavors.
Yes.
I got the Capo.
I got the Onda.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Alta.
There's the Alta. All right, the Alta. And what do you get?
Sarah.
Sarah?
Sarah.
Is it like Michael Sarah?
No. It's a
it's an S.
Different spelling, same pronunciation. Right, okay.
Yeah.
They're twists.
Oh, they are? Cool. Oh, no, I just feel like an asshole.
Oh, my God. Get over yourself over there.
I will say there is a level of satisfaction that I get from using a bottle opener. I don't blame you at all.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes I like to use a rag because that feels like very industry.
Are you going
to
use your teeth next? Like, what are you going to do? Can you show us up?
I don't do that.
I'm looking at this right now and ready for your bingo square. Okay. Obviously, keto. I see four net carbs in here.
Yes.
Keto. Where is that sugar coming from?
So across these four sodas,
I got the Capo. So.
In the Capo and the Serra, that sugar comes from about 3 grams of it comes from orange blossom honey, 1 gram from lemon juice. With the Alta and the Onda, we've got 3 grams coming from Demerara cane sugar, which is basically just fancy sugar. It's a little less processed. It's a little bit more molassesy. It's got more, it's got more sugar flavor.
Okay.
More of like the sort of. I think I like it because it reminds me that sugar actually comes from a plant.
Right.
It can be so easy to just think of like the sort of white granular,
cocaine looking
sugar.
So, I drank before I came here, so I'm feeling good.
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't ask
you. You didn't ask me? I went to my local bar prior here.
So I have the Onda, and it has the lemon juice, the cane sugar you talked about, extracts of Italian lemon, sage leaf, rhubarb root, Italian chinotto?
So in the U.S., I think you can get away with like chinotto.
Okay.
Over there, they pronounce it like chinotto.
I'll have to make sure that my Italian ancestors know that I'm botching it.
Trying
to say it right. juniper berry and aniseed with Mediterranean sea salt.
And so you've got Onda, I like to think of as that's like kind of our weirdo. Sage in soda. It still sometimes surprises me when I drink it.
Right.
But it's also, I think for that reason, become my favorite because it's always just like, what did I do?
Right.
It's very light.
Yep.
And you don't get all that crazy carbonation like you do in my Faygo Cola here. I agree. When I hear soda or pop, if you're a Michigander, sage and soda or pop, whatever, they don't. How do you get them to work? Like, how do you get something like this to work in one of your sodas?
That's a really fun question. And it kind of came from two places. So with Onda in particular, I could tell you exactly where I was when it hit me that I wanted to do this. I was drinking Averna and soda. Averna is one of those Italian liqueurs.
Yep.
And it just sort of, it had never really occurred to me that that was like a, there was like a really, there was a sage note that was really present in that one.
Okay.
And at that point, I was already working with, so the guy who designed our labels, his name's Mike Van Hall. He goes by the Committee on Appropriations. But he does the labels for Stillwater.
Okay.
Oh. And I had recently tried, if you had their cellar door, it's like a farmhouse ale with white sage.
Hmm.
And that beer blew my mind.
Oh, it's so good.
That beer blew my mind the first time that I had it.
Sounds good.
And I made this connection of like, oh, this Italian drink has like a sage note to it. Mm-hmm. And this other drink that I love has a sage note to it. Like, why can't I do that in a soda? And so I'd like to think that I went a little bit overboard with the sage, and that's part of the reason that I like it. Like, I really just – I wanted to take it to 11, so to speak.
what are you guys thinking?
So the first one I had was the Capo.
Yep, and I got okay.
That was really good. What's crazy is that – and it's something that I like because it's something where I can continuously drink. I couldn't, like, slam it.
Right.
Yep.
There was too much for me to drink too much. So it was nice to be able, like, this is definitely something that's going to be in my house so that when I want, because so, I don't know if you guys get the same feeling too, but I want that feeling sometimes of carbonation. Like, I want a fizzy drink. I want something that's just not tap water. Mm-hmm. So.
Yes.
Not my problem. Prior to the end of the year, like, we bought sodas to mix with all of our drinks and stuff, because after a while, you're just drinking. You're not drinking for taste.
Right. Yeah, right.
So you might as well, you know, drink lesser liquor, you know, well liquor, and drink, mix it up with the soda, whether it's a Diet Verner's, Diet Sprite, or Coke Zero. So I've been trying to finish up all the soda in the house just to get rid of it. But yeah, this is definitely something that I'm going to be, carrying in my house just to be able to like have something that I don't have to sip on, because I think too that was my problem with energy drinks is that energy drinks really don't have that much carbonation in them, so especially the White Monsters, like I was chugging them, and I mean I don't know if you guys knew, but I was doing like 3 to 4 a day easily
to 4. I knew you were doing that, but God.
And that doesn't include like the diet or the sugar-free Red Bulls I was drinking on the show with my vodka and whatever else I was doing, so
I'm surprised you're still alive.
I mean, I only did it for like 7 or 8 years straight. So, I mean, there'll probably be something in my 40s or 50s that'll be like,
they'll,
you know,
sneak in and be like, "Where'd this come from? I've been keto for so long, and you didn't."
is that your impression of me, by the way?
No, I don't know. I'm just, oh, I don't know. I have all sorts of impressions.
So yeah, I'm liking the fact that I can sip it and just kind of like drink it. I'd probably love to just put it on ice just so it, you know, make it last longer, make it cold longer. You've been kind of doing a tour. I see a lot of your launches at bars and people are making cocktails with your drinks.
Yeah, which is continually surprising to me. When I first started this, I was like, okay, I figured out exactly how I want this to taste, and this is how everybody's going to drink it. And then you put it out into the market, and people are like, oh, can I mix this? And I'm like, I don't know. That's your business. but then it starts to happen sort of without me, and now I'm like being continually impressed by what people can do with this as a tool. Like, I don't think I really have that skill set or ability.
Cocktail making has gone from, you know, not necessarily like it's always been an art, but I think people have taken it a lot more serious. I have had I have waited for a long time for my cocktail, like watching it get made and the very intricate parts. And I realize, you know, it's the exact same thing as if you're cooking or you're a chef or you're baking or something, is that you need, you know, the very specific instructions to get this cocktail to taste like the bartender wants it to taste, or, you know, wants you to taste. Mm-hmm. So when I wait, like I was at Keesley, actually it was after the Griffin Claw Flying Buffalo episode, I ran into you over at Keesling because it was my girlfriend's birthday. So I'm like, oh, let's go to Keesling because that's where she wanted to go. And they rotate cocktails there. And what's crazy, too, is that they won't make old cocktails for you anymore. You can, like, they know how to make them, but they won't make any old cocktails. They're and it was a launch for Casamara over at Kiesling, but my go-to is I just go to like a Moscow Mule at some point when I'm when I get overwhelmed with
sure.
Yep. Well, what's interesting for me is over the last prior to like a year and a half ago, I would look at a cocktail menu and I wouldn't know 8 of the 10 ingredients per cocktail.
Yes.
And at right. that point, it's almost overbearing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when you go to a bar and you just see this line of taps and you're like, what the hell? What do I pick? What? And then you just go for whatever you normally get,
rather than trying something new that you might, you know.
What is a cocktail that you've seen made with one of your drinks that you really like that maybe you've made at home?
Ooh, those are separate categories.
Want to make at home,
right?
One of my very favorites was over at the Skip. I don't know if you guys know Kyle Marks. He came up with this wild, like, it was like Norden Aquavit, which I don't know if you know those guys. They're
I'm a huge Aquavit, like not just Norden, but like Aquavit itself. So yeah, I actually I was supposed to go to LA. Was it next week, I think? Or no, in 2 weeks, I was supposed to go to L.A., and that just got canceled, and I was so sad because there's a Aquavit from, I believe, Sweden that I've been talking to on Instagram.
Wait, what country?
Sweden?
Oh.
He said Sweden.
Yeah, okay, okay. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure. I
heard what you heard. I just didn't say it.
I'm going to call him out.
I'm going to let that one slide.
So they have a Aquavit that's going to L.A., so I was going to go pick it up, but now I'm not going anymore. Huh. So I'll have to see if maybe Texas has an Aquavit I can bring home. But I actually there was a distillery in Ballard, Seattle, that made a dill aquavit that I have.
Dill?
Whoa.
So I'll have to.
So people tell me sometimes that Onda tastes like pickle juice.
Wait, which one does?
Onda.
I didn't think so.
You know what? I can see it, though.
I can see it. It's never my first association.
Right.
But I can see it. I feel like that those could go well together. We're going to have to check back on that after.
Now, so this distillery is actually out of business. Oh. So I'll have to bring the bottle for you, and you can play with it for a bit. There's still plenty of it in there.
This sounds like a little too high stakes, though.
Oh.
If we can't get more.
Well, I mean, it's meant to be drank. That's why they made it.
Oh, that's a good point.
That's why we have to
honor their memory.
Exactly.
Okay. All
right. Exactly. Which one am I on right now? I'm on the Sarah itself.
Yeah. Sarah's my favorite so far.
Nice, okay.
I like that one. I don't know. You have bark in there? Is there some bark?
Bark? So my absolute favorite thing about Sarah is that I taste bark, like tree bark too, and that comes from the cinnamon.
Yeah, it's like cinnamon bark.
Yeah.
Right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, and it's, have you ever seen a cinnamon tree?
No,
I didn't even know a cinnamon tree existed.
Is that where cinnamon comes from?
Yeah,
that's actually I've seen a cinnamon stick, but I haven't seen
I've seen a cinnamon roll.
I still don't fully believe it. Like, I would love to touch one and smell one in person.
Where are they located?
Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka.
Oh.
It says true cinnamon tree. The cinnamon. Hold on. Cinnamomum virum. Ooh. Called true cinnamon tree or Ceylon cinnamon tree, is a small evergreen tree belonging to the family of Loricae, native to Sri Lanka. So, I mean, I'm sure there's other countries, but that's where they're native to.
Cool.
According to the internets.
The internets.
So, often a reliable source.
I mean, it was a Wikipedia page, so at least
it's cited.
I assume it was cited.
Yeah.
I like the Sarah, too. The Onda... That's the one with I believe this was the lemon on this one.
Yes,
this one was really, really. This is like really like perfect summer drink. I would feel like, you know, I think lemon, I think citrus, I think hot time. You know, out in the summer, you know, 80, 90 degrees. You know, I love pop. Obviously, especially going down to Faygo for crying out loud.
I'm not gonna lie, with all of these, I want to mix it with gin.
Mix it with gin.
Yeah, I think the gin would be, yeah.
Oh,
like gin or vodka with a little bit of citrus.
See, I'm not a gin person, though.
Are you a gin blossom?
No, I'm not a gin blossom.
Okay, that was worth a shot.
I'm not Johnny Resnick.
Isn't that the Goo Goo Dolls?
That's Goo Goo Dolls. And yeah, who's Jim Blossom?
I have no idea.
I don't freaking know.
No, like a lot of these things, and we're going to be actually doing this during the second segment of this show. Over at the end of the table, I don't think you can see a little bit between where Ed and Jason are. We have a alcohol-free whiskey, a gin, one called Seedlip, which is more like a shrub, and then the tall bottle, it says it's like a non-alcoholic energy drink.
That's an energy drink?
Did you see how much caffeine is in it?
Yeah, like a shot is supposed to be like 80 milligrams, I think.
Oh, 320 wow. per 8 ounces.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So maybe a little less per shot. I was going to say, yeah. Like, what kind of shot are we talking about, too? Yeah. Are we talking ounce and a half, or are we talking?
Yeah, because 8 ounces of a spirit would be a lot.
That's I mean, lot. Yeah, that's yeah, that. Right. That's a free drink hour at Luna. Is
R.I.P.
Yeah, that's like half a fifth.
What was that? Was that your gang sign over there? Your R.I.P.
No,
gang just, sign.
You know, doing I think he was doing yeah. The
oh,
the
like father, a father, son, Holy Spirit.
Yeah. The sign of the cross.
Okay. Your Italian ancestors.
So you liked,
it don't mean nothing.
You liked over at the Skip. They had the Aquavit.
Yeah. It was a cocktail that Kyle designed to sort of show off like some stuff that's going on here. And the Aquavit was the base. He made like I believe it was lemon coconut oleo, which is it's like a syrup, but instead of heat, I think you add the sugar to the peels and you kind of just like let that all draw it out. And, man, I can't even remember what else was in it, but it was topped with Alta, which he liked because the anise in the Alta sort of, I don't know, it really worked well with the Aquavit and the sort of flavors that you get from that. Yeah, that was delicious. Kiesling. James Downs made a cocktail with Capo, Mezcal.
Oh.
It was delicious.
So like you with gin, I just can't do tequila.
Wow.
Tequila, mezcal, anything in the family, like whether it's, you know, white tequila or I just can't. Ugh.
Tequila makes me take my clothes off.
Quickly. Please keep your clothes on.
I have.
You know there are cameras in here, right?
Yeah, there's no tequila around.
Fair.
We can go grab some from the.
I know better, Nicholas.
Yeah, tequila is just my no. Like I will even turn away tequila unless it's like in a mixed drink where there's other alcohols present. But like tequila itself is just not for me. I tried a couple different ones over at Donkey over in Grand Rapids, which is like the tequila bar
right.
over in GR, and I still couldn't be bothered with any of them. It's kind of like me with IPAs. Like I've tried enough to know I don't like it. No more. No more IPAs. Has anybody done any like beer tails with any of your drinks yet?
No.
No.
That's a great idea.
Light bulb.
Yeah.
Right.
We did do with Batch, we took so that Kinoto that we were talking about earlier, that shows up in a few of these, we added that to one of their sour bases that they just had fermenting for God knows how long.
Okay.
We took that, we added some of the Kinoto, and we created this like I don't even know how to describe it. I think we called it Underbeer. Don't tell Underberg. We're a little worried that it's too close.
You can change the name in case you guys decide to go
into
market.
Talk to Kuma about that.
And it was delicious. We had it at Summer Beer Fest. And
oh, okay.
Yeah, I may have had a few of those.
A few of those,
meaning a few of those or a few of.
Yes, the answer is.
The answer is yes.
Yes, yes. Good, good.
What is the future going to be like for Casimar? Are you looking to introduce more? Are you trying to make any more flavors or are you just looking at expansion right now?
A little bit of both. Sort of last year, the project was, I think I sort of quickly realized that. This is such a weird niche product that it probably makes sense to try to get it out into the world a little bit beyond beyond Detroit and beyond Michigan. And so I tried to set up distribution in sort of a few key markets, like LA, San Francisco, New York, Chicago.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so that was sort of the project of last year. I think this year the project is like now we've got sort of we've got a network of these really great, like a lot of them are craft beer distributors. They take their stuff really seriously. They're mm-hmm. very, I don't know, they're like knowledgeable about the products and they love it
mm-hmm.
In a way that I think, you know, some of the bigger guys, you can maybe get disillusioned, that sort of thing. I tend to think these smaller distributors are just, you know, there's no other reason to do it than you really, really love it.
Right.
And
well, that's been our experience with M4. Like M4, yeah. As well as Oath have been very, very, you know, good to the show, talking to the show. We've obviously had a few reps from M4 on mm-hmm. in multiple different capacities.
Sober is not one of those capacities.
No. Okay. Sober yeah. is not no, one no. of them. We've had, well, you know, sometimes when they have a launch, mm-hmm. we've interviewed people through launches here over in Michigan. We've had them on just to have them on. We've also had like former M4 employees or M4 employees that'll come with the brewery that's yeah. on the show.
They usually come with the brewery. They're like, oh, let's go over there. You know,
so
they'll just come in and like hijack someone else's spot at World Expo Beer.
Yeah, they've been.
I was gonna say it.
They've been very, very good to us, and we appreciate mm-hmm. you know Absolutely. Their support. Especially, we're also, you know, we're bringing in you guys as well as Reputation at the end of the month,
yep.
which is another M4 client yep. that's in their non-alcoholic
that's
client.
That's awesome.
What have you seen in regards to, obviously, we're celebrating Dry January. Are you seeing more people reach out to you looking for alternatives? Or, like, is there a boost in your sales for this month? Are people ordering a little bit more? Or?
So, I think it's still too soon to say if there's has been or will be a boost in sales, because a lot of that, like, there's a little bit of a lag in terms of like I sell to the distributors and then they come to me, and it's not clear until like a month or two later when I look back of like, oh yeah, we did pretty good.
we're in the black.
Yeah. But in terms of just like interest and people reaching out, and I mean, even like I hate saying this, but silly metrics like Instagram followers, like it's been a good week.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
People,
very nice.
People seem to be excited about Dry January. And it almost seems like people are taking it a little bit more like there's still plenty of people that I think are going all out, but some people are just sort of approaching it a little bit more like I'm just going to drink less.
Well, for me at least, I was definitely drinking a little bit more throughout the week and not necessarily the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Drinking more on my trips because I'm just sitting in a hotel room watching TV or playing on my laptop. So I was drinking a lot more to where, you know what, I needed a little reset. And I had thought of the idea of doing like the Sober October, the kind of thing that like Joe Rogan does, but we have our own beer festival in October and it's the Detroit Fall Beer Festival. So it's kind of hard to pick a month. And even so, like this week is the Michigan Brewers Guild Conference, which we would normally have been if I wasn't in Seattle. So that obviously you can't stay sober in there.
No,
there's always exceptions.
No. Yeah, there's always exceptions. Like for me, like I'm not going to make it to the end of the month because I have my huge work outing, which is like a 3-day outing in Boston.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So my Dry January ends on the last Sunday of the month.
That's pretty good.
But I'm going to try to stay I'm going to try to stay Fridays until Winter Beer Fest.
Wow. Wow, really?
Yep, Fridays only until Winter Beer Fest to try to like keep it going, and then we'll see how March goes.
March draftness,
promoting and publicizing. But mm-hmm. for me, like, yeah, I was definitely drinking a little bit too much. And on the show, I mean, it's not necessarily that we've been drinking too much on the show. But when people bring us beer, when we take beer home and it doesn't get drank, well.
Tavor?
Yeah.
Tavor really doesn't. we appreciate Tavor, but.
Yep, there's
a lot of beer.
You know, one of our, you know, kind of side sponsors, they've been doing the Tavor Tuesdays with us, which all of the winners of Tavor Tuesday, while we are dry, will be drank on the first episode back.
Woo!
The first February for sure. What's your go-to drink when you go to a bar? Like, what are you drinking?
Ooh. So if I'm not drinking and they have Casamara Club, You know the answer.
You get high on your own product.
Always.
you help out your numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Plus, gotcha. It just, like, it looks good for the, you know, people walk in, and they're like, oh, should I get this? And then they're like, oh, that's the owner right there, and I'm drinking it.
Ah, right. So you believe in your product, yeah. Right? Right. That's true. That's true, you know.
Plus I like it. I still like it after all this time. If they don't have it, I'll usually get, and I'm not drinking, usually a bitters and soda, just Ango, soda water, that's it. And then if I am drinking, it depends where I'm at.
What's your beer style? What's your go-to beer style?
For the last year or so, I've been trying to drink as many pilsners and lagers as possible.
That's where I think this overcorrection is happening with a lot of people, like Athletic.
I'm ready for
The NA beers coming is that we thought the correction of like pilsners, lagers, Kolsches, like these easy drinking beers are going to be coming out, but I think there is a much bigger want for, to the point where I think a lot of brewers are going to start at least throwing on one NA beer at each brewery, kind of like how seltzers kind of picked up and everyone was making a seltzer. New England, everyone was making a New England. Right. I think the NA, if you can make a decent NA that tastes, you know, just like a beer, especially if you can do, because the thing is that sure, make an NA, but don't make it a lager or Kolsch or something like that. Make it flavorful. Make it like a wheat or I would love an NA red. If you can get me an amber or a red ale that was non-alcoholic, I'm going to start looking it up during the
see where you can get
the break for sure.
Yeah.
So before we take a quick break, I do know that Michigan Beer Box is going to be wrapping up this month's sales, and I believe going to print on Monday. Ed, you're a subscriber.
Yep.
Yes,
I have a T-shirt box.
You got a T-shirt box. What was last month's box? Was it Dearborn?
It was Dearborn. Yeah, yeah, it was Dearborn
Brewing. Yep. Over in Dearborn, Michigan. Definitely fans of the show. Go check them out. You know, your T-shirt box comes with a T-shirt as well as, I believe, did it come with a free pint or a
free flight?
Flight
in that one.
So you get a chance to try all of the beers over there. There's also a glass box where you can get brand new glassware, as well as the premium box where you can get both the glass and the T-shirt. If you use the code DRAFT, DRAFT, you get 20% off. So go to mibeerbox.com and check it out. We are going to take a quick break. This break is always sponsored by the Ferndale Set. This is Brother Son. We'll be right back.
I'm headed for the city, trouble in my mind. I'm way too young and pretty for things to be unkind. Time is all we have now, so let's make something. No one did. Gotta go, gotta get it.
And we're back.
Hey.
Episode number one, Dry January. So during the break, we decided to try a cocktail. I am not a mixologist at all.
You look legit there for a moment.
I mean, I had the little sugar. So right now, in your glass is just orange juice and Ritual non-alcoholic gin. So
let's hold the bottle up. Because I people don't really believe. I just took a picture of this fake. Well, not really fake. This zero proof whiskey, and my wife didn't believe me. So there it is.
There you go.
Oh, well, there are cameras everywhere. Oh,
yep. Yeah.
That
yeah.
one over there is a security camera, but we don't care about that.
So Jason okay. suggested we top it off with a little bit of Alta.
Top off there.
God, I hope
now
this
Alta,
works.
I would say out of the four, that one had the biggest, I don't know, taste, like
yeah.
the biggest presence.
Yeah.
Everything else was kind of gentle and light. You could like pick out certain things, but this Alta one I was like, ooh.
So the reason for that is so each of these four, it kind of starts with a
I got it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yep.
Starts with a citrus peel.
Okay.
And so with Onda, it's the lemon. With Capo, it's a mandarin orange. With Sarah, ooh. It's grapefruit. And with Alta, it is that Kinoto that we were talking about.
Okay.
And with the other three, those sort of like more, I don't know, our palate picks it up as a little bit more as sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mixed with like the sort of bittering agents. What's kind of fun about Alta is that the Kinoto is super bitter on its own.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so when you start yeah. mixing that with more bitter stuff,
got
it just really, I don't know. It Alta's my favorite for when I wake up and I'm just feeling a little fuzzy. Like those sort of days when I need a greasy breakfast sandwich and like like that kind of vibe. Like I really need a jolt.
Gotcha.
So we just went around. Ken?
I dig it.
This is weird, but I
think
it
was
like
a little too much orange juice. I would say if I'm giving myself true feedback, but I love the Alta top.
Yes,
like I think the Alta kind of brings out the flavor of everything inside, which I'd probably just mix Alta and orange juice and probably be happy.
You know what yeah. word I thought of when I drank this?
What's that?
Earthy.
Earthy.
Yeah.
I like that. That's a good. I like that.
In a good way. In
yeah.
a good way.
Yeah.
Just so we were talking offline. I'm looking for the dry gin. If you can
this,
hand me
the
that.
Dry gin.
Yep. So the ingredients in this dry gin, obviously it does have juniper in it, green lemongrass, capsicum fruit, green peppercorn, prickly ash, and peppermint leaf. So that is your ingredients for the.
That is so crazy.
Each one of these are they're zero calories. They have less than 1 gram of sugar in them. I'm guessing probably from you know any of the fruit.
Right.
That's inside of it, but
my guess, because I was looking at that before, I part of my brain wants to make one of these one day, and I've been trying to figure out how they do it, and my best guess is that they're adding the sugar along with, I think there's a certain, maybe some kind of gum in there that they add.
Oh, gum extract or something.
Those,
what was it exactly? Xanthan gum?
Yep.
Yeah,
xanthan. Okay. I think those two together is what gives you a little bit of that body that tends to come with a spirit. But I'm still new to all this. So
I was going
to
say you're talking though like you got some chemistry background or something.
I just try to hang out with people who are smarter than me
and then pick up what you can.
Yeah,
on the way.
Just like
yeah,
listen
yeah.
real hard, ask gotcha. Questions when I'm not bothering them.
Sure. Just
yeah.
soak it all up like a sponge.
So I think the Alta kind of cut the citrus, like that super citrusy part of the orange juice a little bit, and kind of.
I don't know. I almost want to kind of like do a shooter real quick of this gin to taste the gin separate from the the cocktail.
Well, you can without any consequence. So
that's true.
I really like. I keep forgetting that we're not drinking, and I know that's a. It sounds like I'm just pitching my own product, but like I think I'm actually pitching this Ritual stuff.
I mean, you could drink this anytime. I would feel, you know,
yeah.
If you wanted something to kind of look like you were drinking, but you weren't in the mood to drink, and this, you know, I wonder what the. If we have, do we have a zero proof vodka by any chance? In here?
So I think, well, I mean, between the seed lip and the energy drink, I think either of them can be considered a vodka or a vodka type.
You know, I just looked at the nutritional facts on this energy drink thing.
And
800% of your daily value of niacin, B6, B12, and pantothenic acid.
Screw the gummies I take every day. I'll just take that.
It's gluten-free and vegan.
Oh,
too.
So you good. Yeah. Oh. I like meat, so.
Are you going to take a straight shot of that
gin? Yeah, I'm just
going to
do a little sipper shooter.
All right, so Ken's pouring.
If anybody else wants some, I do have shot glasses over here.
Not? Yeah.
Pass it. Yeah. Pass it down.
Puff, get them.
I mean, that was the benefit when we had Two James on, and we were able to try the gin from Two James along with the batch five or the Melt My Brain that was barrel aged in that gin.
Oh, wow.
So we were able to try both the gin and the beer to see if we could taste the notes of the.
You're leaving me hanging.
Oh, shoot. Well, he's the guest. He gets to get it.
It's okay. You're the guest. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'll be quick.
No. I'm just giving Nick shit. No.
Ooh, that is harsh.
Is it harsh?
That is very harsh.
I got a cup. All right. I had a cup and everything, but
cap it. Yeah. Definitely burns.
The right cap.
A lot.
Whoa.
Oh.
Yeah.
There we go.
So the. Whoa. Okay. That stuff by itself.
I'm getting straight pepper.
Yeah, in like the back of your throat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
What? Yeah. I think.
How much did you guys do?
I just did a little shooter part.
Half a shot.
I just
Jason went all in on his pour. So I do have I have tonic water in here too.
Like a fake gin and tonic.
Yeah, that might be.
What do you think, Ed?
I do get the pepper.
Yeah.
Yeah. But where I get the earthy, though. This is the earthiness.
I'm not saying pepper bad as much as pepper, like,
a lot.
Rough. Like, black hard, pepper.
Yeah.
Hard in the back of the throat.
It's not
like
what
it tastes really good, but just that afterburn.
Yes.
It's not a liquor afterburn. No. It's just a burn of, like, if I had, like, something like a black peppered salmon or something like that. And, like, I ate the salmon's good, but the little crack of black peppers in the back of my throat just...
I wonder if that's sort of what they're trying to recreate, is that, like, liquor burn. And whether they're thinking they're fooling us?
I don't want it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I've learned why I get liquor burn. It's because you taste bad liquor.
Yeah, exactly.
Some El Toro.
I used to hate straight, like, I would never drink anything straight, like shots especially.
Yeah.
I would always mix stuff. And then when I especially got out of, like, beer and, you know, started drinking more liquor and less beer, like, I started buying better liquor and, like, oh my gosh, this tastes so good. And it kind of started when we had, you know, Two James on here.
Yes.
We've had Rustic Crow on here. So we've had all these distilleries on here and we've had all these other alcohols on here that it just... Oof, this really, maybe if I can cut it with my.
I feel like you could make a spicy margarita with this.
Yeah.
With gin?
Okay. I was going to say, I mean, doesn't matter as long as, maybe, what about a Bloody Mary? Instead of like a gin Bloody Mary as
opposed
to a vodka?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you could definitely make, I mean, any spicy type drink. Mm-hmm. Like they talk about on the label itself, they have like a G&T on their recipe, and it's called a new fashion for the whiskey over here, where you can do. I mean, we have most of the ingredients of an old fashioned.
The ritual whiskey, simple syrup, and then two dashes of bitters.
Yeah, I just don't have the bitters.
Stir, add ice, garnish with a cherry and orange.
I mean, we could probably do the ritual whiskey, the bitters, or the syrup, and one of the. Sodas.
I think we could definitely do that. What would I do with all that?
We might have to make that during the second break, or I'll sneak out and wash everything while we continue the conversation. I wanted, like, this would be a good liquor for me if it had alcohol in it so that I wouldn't drink it fast. Like, I'd be just sipping on it because it tastes good. I'm just gonna
what a party right a party trick. You bring this shit and then you just drink it. Like, you drink it from the And then all your friends are like, "Yeah, he's going hard," and you're like,
"I've done that with a brown bottle of whiskey.
Yeah,
like the whiskey's gone, so I filled it with water and I just like chug it in front of friends and like, you're going to die." And I'm like, "Yeah, if I die,
it's like the people who you know put blue Gatorade in a Windex bottle and drink it and be like,
that's clever,
right?"
I like to see this, do a placebo test and give someone like whiskey and give them this.
I think any good whiskey drinker would be able to spot the difference between.
Well, not if they're just ignorant and they have no clue.
Well, yeah. I mean,
that's the whole point.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna give it to them. I wouldn't give this to someone who wants. It was like a connoisseur.
Nick Drinks. You're not gonna give that to Nick Drinks.
Well, I think if Nick Drinks wants to just say, "Hey, I had some N.A. whiskey," then, you know, just for fun.
Sure,
you
sure.
You know who I would give it to?
Who?
Jack Zatuno of Red Zatuno Liquor. On Rochester Road, just south of M-59, go check out Jack. And he's got some N.A. beers over there. He's got some Athletic, and you can go grab regular beer there, too, not just N.A. Plenty of other N.A. drinks, like sodas and...
some Faygo.
Faygo, for sure. I don't know if he has Faygo over there.
We did a demo tasting there.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Jack would have probably loved that because he doesn't have to fill out for a single day license for you. That's the problem with liquor stores. You got to buy a single day license just for someone to bring in to do a tasting.
I wonder how much that would cost.
I think they're like $50 a piece, but it's just the hassle to do it.
Right.
Yeah, it's the paperwork and the administrative.
And an added bill every single time. You know, he does at least one a week, and sometimes he has, I don't know if he can bring in multiple people for one tasting.
No. Normally, I don't see it.
Well, he brings in more than one person. Like some Friday nights, you'll see like a liquor, like a tequila person and a whiskey person there, two separate accounts. But
so you're saying for like a mix thing?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he's able to have, like if he needs one for the whiskey person, one for the vodka person.
I think you probably need one for each.
I would think so because it's Michigan. Yeah. Call back earlier to Jason not wanting to deal with the TTB. Well, I mean, that's the U.S.,
right,
Michigan liquor law is still
MLCC.
The MLCC, for
sure.
Yeah,
you know me.
God. All right, anyway.
From what I've read, Michigan's is a little, it's even harder to work with than the TTB.
Michigan, let's the MLCC is hard to work with and bringing in beer just because that's why, what's that huge brewery? That's Yingling doesn't come to Michigan.
Hmm.
Like, they just bypass us.
Yeah, they're like, fuck it.
There's no reason for them. They don't need to come into the market. You know, they have market share plenty of places. But that's why we sell, like, a lot of when the, not bigger breweries, but like, by Allagash isn't in Michigan anymore. Like,
right,
you know.
Right.
They're not going to come back to it. They're just going to, you know, distro to California instead. And I have to go to California to get, I mean, I can just go to Chicago.
Allagash White.
Yeah, Allagash White.
So good.
The triple is so good, too.
What was the triple?
The triple is a solid beer. It's hard to really find anywhere, but I'm enjoying this, the cocktail that we made, though. I think we need that. That might be like a at-home cocktail.
It was easy.
Yeah, it was three ingredients, gin, orange juice. I mean, we might need to properly measure it, maybe do it a few more times. It's not like we're going to get drunk on it. What is your, you know, when you're selling, like, what do you tell people? Because this is obviously a different sell. It's not a cola. It's not a soda. Like, for someone who is not necessarily newer into this style of drink, but, like, how do you tell them, you know, this is something you should try? Especially because, I mean, the big thing we all look at is a price point.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not like, you know, I can go get a Faygo for, what's it say, $1.09 for a 24-ounce. Why am I coming to you for a 12-ounce can or bottle of Alta Sparkling?
Yeah. No, and I think it goes back to what you were saying before. And this sort of idea of like, yeah, you can drink something else. Yeah, you can drink a soda. But there's something about this that, you know, it's not intended to be like just crushed without thinking. It gives you like a little bit of friction there. There's a little bit of room to, I don't know, enjoy it on a couple different levels in the way that somebody might with like a really great beer where you're like, oh wow, this is, it's doing things for me in a way that like, I mean, I love Coca-Cola, but it just, it's so coating and big, and it doesn't really leave any room for anything else. I think one of my favorite things about these is them being so light. They go really well with food. Like, they're just, they're easy to pair with a meal. They're easy to, like, I don't know, more and more people aren't drinking. If you're throwing a party, it's nice to have a non-alcoholic option.
I always tell people there's a hose outside and they can just spray it and drink from the hose.
Oh, but not these days, Ken. The anti-vaxxers.
Get something crazy from these hoses. What's your non-alcoholic drink of choice when you're not doing Casamara? A coffee, tea?
Yeah. I really love coffee. There's one in particular on at Anthology Coffee right now in Eastern Market. They've got this bean from, I believe it's from Ethiopia. There's like a really, it's got like a really long, fun story behind it that I'll save you guys here.
Go check it out.
Go check it out. But it just tastes like grape candy.
Okay.
It's wild.
I don't know if I want grape candy in my coffee, though.
I didn't until I tried it. It was definitely worth, it's an extra, maybe like a dollar more than the other coffees, but like totally worth it. I've never had anything like it.
Right.
And they're fairly confident they won't be able to find anything like it again anytime soon. So.
Well, sadly, their website's broken.
Oh, no.
Or I would look
Anthologies?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or I would look at their coffees, but it's over in Eastern Market. It's off of Division, but it's not like in the Eastern Market proper when you think Eastern Market. It's a little bit off the beaten path in that area, but a great place to go check out. I've been there a few times. I was happy when they opened because Trinsophones was, and I mean Germac too, are my coffee spots down there, but then I was able to start going to Anthology when I wanted something different and easy. And for me, like I love, and they sell it over at what's the Comet? Is Comet the burger bar over in Corktown?
Yes.
Yeah. They sell Becarus, which is a Detroit-based coffee, and it is probably one of the best black coffees I've ever had.
Huh.
Nothing crazy to write home about. It's just their standard medium roast blend. Like, there's nothing fancy, no grape purple drink in there.
purple drink.
My gosh.
But it was just a great, you know, standard hot coffee. And I believe One-Eyed Betty's has a really solid coffee, too, and I'm trying to think of the name of it. I'd have to ask maybe Shane. But when I was working at One-Eyed Betty's for my work, we were drinking so much of that coffee because it was so good, so smooth. And that's another thing as I've kind of grown older is I know what bad coffee is because it's just bitter as all hell. Like, I know what bad, you know, whiskey is because it's just bitter and terrible. But, like, a good black coffee, I mean, you know, Ed knows enough about Big B where they have so many different coffees on draft at all times where you can find the right coffee for you.
Yeah.
Or that Michigan Cherry, which
I
is like,
love Michigan Cherry.
That's their go-to. That's like their flagship.
That's their flagship, right. You can only get it on Mondays and Thursdays, though.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh,
so I guess their flagship would be Big B Best.
Big B Best,
Big B Best, French Roast, and then a decaf.
Speaking of which, we got Flagship Friday Flagship February.
February, yep.
That's I'm not even drunk. I'm sober as a fucking bird.
I couldn't say whiskey a few minutes ago, so.
So we got Flagship February coming out. Definitely check out betterondraft.com or facebook.com/betterondraft. You'll be able to find out more about the flagship beers of the state for sure.
Hopefully
we're going to be adding to our list this year as we keep making it bigger and bigger.
Yep, we got about 40 or 50 breweries from the state of Michigan. From the breweries, we reach out to them, talk to owners, talk to brewers, and
we want them to participate. We don't just want to make a list like a, you know, Metro Times list.
Yeah, or a Freep list or something.
I mean, that's easy. Like, oh, we could just put a bunch of names on here and not look. But what are your guys' flagship go-tos for a beer? Like, what is a beer that is, you know, your, you know, not I mean, as much as like M43 is the flagship of Old Nation now.
Right.
You know what's like? What's like that flagship beer? That's that non-special. So not like a Gorilla Juice from Ascension. Good beer, but you know what's your flagship? Like for me, Rochester Red, Rochester yeah. Mills. That is such a great go-to standard. Same with the milkshake stout.
Yeah.
But like whenever I'm at Greektown, there's a bar that has Rochester Red, and I just always go to that bar inside the casino. I don't mess with anything.
Sticking with the Reds. If I'm in the mood for a beer and, you know, maybe not a lot of choices, but it catches my attention. I always seem to find this one in a lot of places. Eric the Red from Dragon Mead.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So Eric the Red.
What about you, Ed?
Love him or hate him, it's Bell's Two Hearted.
Bell's Two Hearted?
Mm. That was my first ever craft beer.
A flagship beer?
I guess the answer, the one thing that I pretty much always have in my fridge is Upland's Champagne Velvet.
Oh, yep. So good.
And it's like, it's just, you can't beat that price point.
No. Oh, right, really right. Thank you, M4, for bringing it into bringing it into Michigan.
Yeah, we actually had the opportunity. It was M4, thank you. We did a part of an episode on the Brews Brothers because we had Upland it was about a year ago.
Yeah.
And he was in, we did it over at Tom's Oyster Bar.
Okay.
And did a Better on Draft, which was part one of that Bruges Brothers episode where I just kind of like took over and did an interview because they had all the equipment. This was before we actually had our equipment really ready to go.
Hmm.
So we're hoping to do a lot of different traveling this year. I'm hoping to get to the UP Beer Fest.
That's a good one.
I haven't figured out what we want to do for spring yet in regards to the
TC,
Traverse City, and the World Expo of Beer. Have you been reached out to bring? Can you not necessarily keg your drink, but you could keg it. Do you guys
might have some news on that soon?
Might have some news on that.
We can why not break it?
Let's break it
here.
That's the ticker tape.
We're going to be basically we found a way to put sort of just everything but the water into a bag in a box that's either going to you can hook it up to like a soda gun like at a restaurant
fountain.
Yep. Or pour it into a a pony keg, one of those like refillable kegs, and that should be coming to. That's gonna be Michigan only, I think, for a little while. Let's see if it works here. First,
you looking to have it as a mixer or sell it as soda, like a company would sell a Coca-Cola. Like if I went to a Red Robin and. They're like, oh, what do you have for sodas? And
so my hope is that I think my first thought is that a lot of bars and restaurants, I think more and more you're seeing people saying like they want to go not quite zero waste, but as little waste as possible.
Yeah.
And so if we can take the bottle out and just give them like a bag and a box and they can like put our soda on the gun, that's great. I would also I don't want to get my hopes up on this, but I just know if we give people this as like a syrup, they're going to do some cool stuff with it. And I'm really excited to see when you take the water and the bubbles out and you can kind of use it as, I don't even know what you'd call it at that point. I guess a syrup.
I think that's what they call those boxes of like soda and stuff is just like syrup boxes or syrup bags.
Yeah.
Because what I'm picturing with you when you're talking about that is that if you ever go to the basement bar, I don't know if it has an actual name over at the Blind Pig in Ann Arbor. So they actually gun all of their liquor too. So I've seen the setup, and the setup is ridiculous. But, like, if you go into the back, you just see bottles of Jack Daniels, Captain Morgan, whatever vodka they use. And they gun all – I don't know if it goes upstairs, too, but at least in the downstairs bar, they gun all of their I would guess it's either that what they consider well since they're putting it in the gun.
Gotcha.
So, okay. I mean, Jack Daniels is pretty well in comparison to all the other whiskeys that are out there.
Right.
But yeah, it's a crazy setup. So that's what I'm picturing is doing like a one-on-one where I'm, you know, gunning either some type of vodka or some type of gin, and then I'm gunning your Alta over here.
I love that.
Tell M4 to go to the Blind Pig and
check
get
it out and figure that out.
Well, you know, where are you seeing the clientele of Casamara Club? Is it older, younger, a little bit of everything, male, female? Like, what's the clientele that are coming towards your drinks?
I would say it's definitely on the younger end of things. Millennials are still young, right?
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think millennial is to 91.
Yeah.
I thought they were 95.
It might be 95.
95, 96, roughly.
And they're all old enough to drink.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. I think in part that's probably just because, like, that's where I'm at. And that's, like, I mean, I kind of just, when I was really first trying to figure out what this was, I really just wanted to make something that I would like. And so I think there's a little bit of just like of a self-fulfilling prophecy of like, if I make something for me, then people like me are going to like it.
Okay.
So, yeah, I would say male, female, it's been fairly evenly split, which is really nice to see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I guess it tends to do better in, cities, like the kind of spots where, you know, people like us hang out, I suppose.
Young people.
Young dudes.
Yeah. People. Us young bucks.
All right, guys, we are going to take a quick break. We're going to try to make one more cocktail during the break, and we will be right back with the Better on Draft podcast.
Whew.
Where'd the music go?
We'll be right back.
And we are back, Dry January, episode number one, part of Better on Draft. So far, zero alcohol has been drank on this show.
It's so freaking
weird. I had
0.5.
You had point. Oh, you had. Did you have the kombucha?
I had the kombucha from Bigby Coffee.
So we have now. This is 10 calories for the whiskey, which is also from Ritual. Zero proof whiskey. 2 grams of carbs.
We decided
to make it with some simple syrup, as well as some Sarah from Kazumara Club. So first, I'm going to do the shooter. If you guys want to join me in doing the shooter,
yeah,
just taste it first.
Oh, sorry.
No. Hey, guests get to go first, man. You get to tell us how it goes first, then.
It's a really weird taste.
Yeah.
That it tastes. It almost tastes like a syrup.
Yeah.
Like it almost has like a consistency of a. Well, it doesn't look like a syrup consistency, but it definitely has that taste. Like if I, you know that last fork of syrup you get after you eat pancakes and you just up, like that's exactly what it tastes, not tasted like, but the viscosity, I believe is the right word.
Jason is in some very serious thought right now.
I'm trying to do the math right because it's very syrupy. And there are only 2 grams per 1.5 ounces, but if you multiply that out and you think about it in terms of like a soda, this would be like, I think like 18 grams of sugar. So like not quite, like about half what you'd get in a Faygo or a Coke, but still a lot. Not what I was expecting.
So here's my take. We did the gin and we did the whiskey. That first sip, that first taste, almost identical at first, but in the back end, like in the back of the throat, that's where I tasted the major difference.
Yeah,
I'm not getting that harsh finish.
Like with the gin, for example.
Yeah, with the gin or like even a cheap whiskey, like I'm not getting that harsh finish. Like that's a good sipping. Like I don't know if I'd want it on the rocks or not.
I would. Yeah.
I mean, maybe if it would water it down a little bit, like almost like a scotch and water, but a whiskey and water.
Yeah.
Like that might be even a decent little mixture on ice.
Well. I'm going to try something, but I want to do this other one.
I've got ice if you need ice.
You have ice?
Yeah, I have ice.
Oh, yeah, here, bring me a little bit of that.
Cool. The finish almost tastes like spicy bubble gum.
So,
well, it's smoky. They have there's a smoke in it, a mesquite smoke.
Yeah, you've got the bottle in front of you. I don't have the ingredients, but yeah,
they buried all of their flavors under natural flavors.
Well, the side has all the ingredients.
Oh,
on them.
Okay.
That's how I was able to tell you what the lemongrass and peppercorn is. So,
and as Jason was mid reading it, Nick took it away.
Oh, that's sorry.
I was reading the wrong part of it.
I'm not an old fashioned fan, but I do like this. Like,
You tried the old fashioned? I didn't get there yet.
The mixture of the simple syrup, the non-alcoholic whiskey, and then the Sarah from Kazumara Club. I think the Sarah was the right choice for this drink for sure. It almost kind of reminds me, like, I would probably want a little bit of a citrus in here, like a lime or a lemon on top. We got pineapple.
Oh, pineapple.
I don't know if I'd want to do pineapple on there, but I mean.
There you go.
Like
syrup.
Yeah.
Nick just poured a shot, and, like, you could see it come back down, like the. The remnants of the shot.
This is gonna be really hard to get on the camera, but Ed kind of described it really good there.
It's
so weird. So I'm gonna try this old fashioned real quick. I just did my my Faygo with a shot of this. So you'll. Like a Jack and Coke ish.
Okay.
I guess,
what kind of is that? Just a cola?
Yeah, this is just cola.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I went with the new fashion's really, really good.
This is great.
If I had some type of like a lemon or a lime in there, maybe a squirt, I think a squirt would probably taste really, really good in here.
Can I get a little bit more of that Sarah? Is there any more of that left though?
There's plenty of Sarah.
A little bit more. This was really good.
Again, we're kind of eyeballing all these things, so I'm like, none of the glasses are going to taste the same because I made 2 batches of the new fashion. But this is definitely something you can make at home.
Mm-hmm.
which I think is a huge, like when I go out for a cocktail and stuff, if I can make the cocktail at home, I might as well not do it. I might as well go.
You know what?
Right, right.
You know what? This almost tastes like a Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
When you take the zero proof and add the Sarah and add the, simple syrup?
Simple syrup, yep.
Yeah.
I'm tasting Coca-Cola.
It's very Coke-esque.
It's Coke-esque. Yeah. Like, you got your Coca-Cola, Diet Coke, and then your Coke Zero. This is, like, right up there in between, like, diet and regular.
Is this the Pepsi Max?
Yeah, sure, why not? Pepsi Max. But no, I'm kind of glad.
Can you hand me the whiskey bottle, please?
Yeah. It's right in front of me.
We are not drunk.
We're not drunk. Yeah.
All right. So it says American oak, Madagascar vanilla, capsicum fruit, sugar floss, and mesquite smoke, warm caramel, hemp leaves, green peppercorn, prickly ash, toasted spices.
I think it's the Madagascar, the vanilla.
Maybe.
I think that's the vanilla that's giving it a little sweetness that we get in Coke.
Go ahead.
Well, it might be the xanthan.
Just thinking about
what
we believe to be in Coca-Cola.
Right.
Yeah.
The secret recipe. Tar.
Tar. Black tar heroin.
You guys want to hear a fun story? I almost worked for Coca-Cola.
No way.
No shit, really?
Honest to God. The Detroit Bottling Company.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
I went for an interview there, and it was definitely the first time I've ever done a panel interview. I've had very interesting interviews from when I was leaving Lender Live and at the time at my current job when I was, you know, in a stale rut and wanted to do something different. I've had a few different jobs between that one and the I believe there's a vinegar company, not McClure's, McClary's, that's local. They're based out of, I want to say they're based out of one of the nonprofits over in Southfield. Harvest, for Forgotten Harvest.
Forgotten Harvest.
Yeah.
They actually work out of there.
Okay.
They have another a site for like HQ, but that's where they have all their products and their little office and stuff too. So for the Coca-Cola one, like there was a panel interview and there was like 10 people in front of me.
Yeah.
And it was like the typical, like what you would expect in a movie. Like everyone's got their own Coke brand. It's a horseshoe and they're just drilling you with questions. And you're just sitting there like, hello, this is awkward.
I just had to go back. I saw a pun and I got to address it. So did you say that in your current position, your current job, you hit a stale?
Like a stale moment. Stale moments. Like I was repetitive doing the same thing over and over again. And
if you know where
bored.
Ken works, then you know the stale.
you're going. Took you a long time to get to that bridge.
Yeah, no, I didn't know if you were going to mention it or not. But
No. It's definitely like I love what I do now.
Right.
So
right.
Obviously, you know, especially with the travel, it's been very, very nice.
No more stale bread.
What did you think of the drink, the mixed drink?
The one that we just made?
Yeah.
I really liked it. I also really like the pineapple juice. Like I'm not mad about it.
Oh yeah, you
got
to add the pineapple
yeah,
juice.
Yeah, yeah. Just a splash. It does a little something for me.
Do you guys want to add pineapple or I don't know if you drank all of yours.
No, I have not.
Nick didn't, but he's.
I am totally.
Yeah, is there pineapple? Where's the pineapple juice?
Pineapple juice is right in the center.
You're on your own getting that one, Ed. I ain't getting that one. So I did just do the whiskey, or quote-unquote whiskey, with the Faygo, make a little pseudo Jack and Cola kind of thing. Mm. And I was thinking it was going to be a little something close. I guess I was a little – this tastes like more like vanilla Coke now.
I love vanilla Coke.
Well, then this would be like right up your alley, man.
Mm.
I'm not a big fan of vanilla Coke or vanilla sodas or anything like that. Like,
do you
I
think
just
I'm
want...
wrong for saying that?
I see it.
You see it? Okay.
As a connoisseur, no.
Yeah.
But I can I see where you're going.
Are you a vanilla Coke connoisseur?
When I used to mow my grandmother's yard when I was a young boy, she would have a cold can of vanilla Coke waiting for me in the fridge.
Man. How old were you when this happened?
12 to 18.
Oh, I forgot. You're a youngin' too. You are the baby in this room, aren't you?
I have to cross over the bridge this the 30 bridge this month.
Oh no.
Dirty 30.
It's not that bad.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know. My father tells me I'm entering my fourth decade, so he's one of those. I just respond, okay, boomer.
Oh. Oh jeez.
Now, before we...
we went there. Oh, God.
Before we kind of close out for the night, I was actually looking up, and I don't know if you noticed this, but Inside Beer does like a daily or every other day news article that they send out to kind of like aggregates a bunch of the top stories of news. And one of them was talking about Dry January, and you actually got a call out on this beer mailer.
Really?
From a reader named Brittany, said, relying on Lagunitas, the Hop Seltzer, and Casamara Sodas.
Hell woot, yeah, Brittany.
So you got a little bit. It's from a group called Inside Beer.
Okay.
And if you go to just inside.com and you look at the beer portion of it, you're able to see it. It doesn't give us any information about Brittany, just that she is a person.
Yeah, she's got great taste.
So going over the news real quick, are you looking to not news? Are you looking to expand outside of the states yet, or are you? Because I mean, we got Canada right around the corner.
So I'm still mystified by how international shipping works. Like something about when it crosses a border, something happens. I don't understand it. I feel like we've got enough work to do here that. Maybe someday we'll hit well enough that an importer exporter will just come say like, "Hey, can we buy some from you?" And then I can just let them deal with it. But yeah, I'm not working on that quite yet.
Okay. Yeah. You guys got any more questions for him? I mean, I'm kind of like dry.
So where do you see Casamara Club go beyond the four flavors? Is there some things, do you like an R&D? I mean, I can't imagine R&D with a small company, but
yeah,
is there any plans for a fifth, sixth, and et cetera, you know, extra flavors?
I'm working on a couple right now.
Okay.
A cola.
Ooh.
That's like kind of my baby.
Are you going to try to keep it low sugar like the rest of these? Or
yes. Okay. Might go up to 5 grams. Just like really.
Put some dietary fiber in there.
Pushing it. Yeah.
Or what's it, Irritol?
Yeah. Those have never really agreed with me. Any of those like, because there's like, I don't know, people are even using stuff like monk fruit now, and
I've used monk fruit sweetener for I would make these like cold peanut butter balls. It's basically almond wheat, monk fruit sweetener, and like the syrup sweetener and peanut butter. Basically, just mix it all up, mold it into little balls, put it in the refrigerator, and then you've got a nice little no bake peanut butter snack.
Nice, yeah,
keto.
Yeah. Gosh.
Yeah, but I'm doing my best to, I don't know, stick to the kinds of, I guess the kinds of flavors that I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, oh, so the other one is my close friend, our director of operations, she's working on a ginger beer.
Oh,
yes.
So, like, I'm really trying to, like, generate like a Lennon McCartney thing.
Is there low sugar in that? Because I would love a good replacement of ginger beer for my Moscow Mules.
Yeah, she was the one who had the idea that we could maybe take it up to 5 grams. So like not as low, but
I mean lower than a normal ginger
lower
beer.
Than most
ginger beer.
So yeah, those are I'm really excited about that because everybody's like, oh, you should do this weird thing or that weird thing.
Mm-hmm. Sure, like, everyone's just, gonna have their
I just like Coke and I like ginger beer, so like, that's what I want to do next.
And I think the continuation of having people do the mixed drinks and stuff like that, you know, will definitely continue if you're making a cola and you're making a ginger beer.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons why I really like that, because I think of these, like, at least behind a bar, they're a tool for people. And if we can give them more useful tools, then I think everybody wins.
And even those, the cola and the ginger beer, those might be your crack at breaking even more because they're, you know, they're more recognizable, you know?
I sometimes wonder about that, though, because at least, like, especially with crowds, they taste these and they're like, whew, that's not for me. Like, I like my pop.
Sure. Yeah, buddy.
This is not sweet enough for me. I think because they can't quite wrap their head around it before they try it, though, they're a little bit more like, okay, this is just a different thing that it's not
sure,
for me.
Sure, sure.
I'm kind of excited to see what happens when I'm like, this is a cola.
Right. Here's a cola.
Like, whoa.
And then it's just kind of reversed, right? So you're like, here's a cola, and then here's my portfolio.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm just like, I'm kind of excited to see if people like, I don't know. I feel like you're not a real business until you have haters. And I feel like maybe cola and ginger beer.
Damn, we were a real business after three episodes.
Yeah.
That's for
sure.
I have haters too for my blogs.
You're just a
soccer mom who
soccer mom
drinks
who...
beer.
Struggling podcast.
All right. Before we end, we might end a little bit early, but I want to kind of go over a little bit of beer. So if you don't mind joining us, this is going to be kind of like a thumbs up, thumbs down if you agree. But Forbes did a end of year interview with a bunch of brewers, owners of breweries, and people are predicting the trends for the next decade of beer. So basically, we're going to go down each one. I'll read you, and you'll tell me yes or no. Don't think too hard on it.
Trends of the next decade in beer.
Okay. In the industry.
All right. 10 years.
All right. Okay. So,
thank you, Ed.
former CCO of Revolution Brewing says, the next decade will show an increasing shrink in the number of brewery brands that are able to get deep into the distributor and retail tiers, and this will contribute to the number of buyouts and strategic partnerships. Distributors faced with a portfolio lacking in current growth captains such as Constellation and Mark Anthony brands, in addition to aging second and third generation ownership with no clear succession plans, will continue to take current record multiples and head to a sunny destination. So
by significant number of buyouts is basically the market.
Consolidation
in the market.
I'm going to go thumbs up.
And this is retail and distro tiers.
Yeah, I'll say thumbs up.
Ed disagrees.
Disagree.
I mean, you're in distro technically. You're side by side with some beers. Upland. Your Champagne Velvet might be right next to a Casamara Serra.
I don't like that trend, but I'm gonna say it's probably likely. Like everything seems to be consolidating, so why not?
I have faith.
I'm in.
All right, co-founder of New Belgium Brewing, who actually just sold themselves.
Yeah.
In terms of what next, that's where we'll inevitably see a shakeout and fewer breweries. So what would that mean for the beer business? Less choices, less innovation, or even breweries taking fewer chances, or it can mean stabilization and the re-energized core of more successful breweries. Additionally, as we've already seen, the rise of cannabis and sobriety will play a role on the further impact of the beer category.
So it's like a two-parter, I feel.
He
thinks there's going to be less innovation. Less innovation? Less variety?
Due to the less breweries. Less innovation, less choices, less chances.
I'm gonna say thumbs down, and this is my and here's my reason why. Breweries, they're going to come, and then they're going to go. But those ones go... Someone new comes in with something brand new that no one's ever thought about. They make it big enough, and then eventually they get bought out. So I think it's just – I think we're going to go in a complete circle here.
I see your circle. I see you.
I think it's going to be a full circle.
Okay.
So as breweries are getting bought out, you know, to the first question, new ones come in, something new, maybe a new fresh take on something.
Sure, sure.
And, you know, we start all over.
They get bigger, they get bigger, they get big, they sell.
Yes.
That's your circle?
That's what I'm
saying. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to – I disagree with that one. I thumbs down.
Jason?
There were so many in there. The where it ended with the cannabis.
The rise of cannabis and
sobriety. I was just reading today about a zero proof wine with THC.
Okay.
So I'm just going to say,
most, at least in the United States, you cannot mix alcohol with THC.
Mm-hmm.
So all THC beers that you could buy already do not have any alcohol in them.
Yeah. Okay.
That includes the company that bought out the Rochester Mills production facility,
right?
Who make a THC beer at their other facility. I believe it's in Colorado. It does not have alcohol in it. It is just straight THC.
But it's going to be produced here, correct? Like that was the whole purpose of buying the facility?
Yeah, that was their whole purpose because obviously it's legal to make in here.
Right.
But, you know, there's a lot more hoops to get in, especially when it's a cash-only business.
So what was the question? I don't even remember what the question was.
I had a hard time
These are the – look at the. They were predicting the next decade.
No, I got that part, but what was this one?
I mean, they're saying a shakeout and fewer breweries, so downsizing.
I would say that the variety, though, is still going to be there.
Okay.
I still think that there's going to be innovation, there's going to be discoveries and variants and all that stuff. I still think that that's going to happen.
I will make this bold-ass prediction, and I will say 2020 will be the first year that we see a decline in beer sales in Michigan.
Well,
really?
Yep.
Wow.
They've seen it in Oregon. They've seen it in Washington. They've seen it in Colorado, and they've seen it in Canada. And do you see the trend that I am saying where they saw it?
Uh-huh.
All marijuana.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Marijuana will bite into
craft beer.
Craft beer. Well, beer sales, period.
Beer sales, period. Okay. So you're. Did you see? And this is me going in a different direction. Natty Light is giving away beer to anyone who turns 21 in 2020.
What?
That's not fair.
Right. Anyway, that was a digression, but
they're the last 90s babies turning 21 this year.
Yes.
Damn.
We got the co-founder and CEO of Harpoon Brewery. There will be a huge hangover from this unsustainable boom. The fast money will try to leave as quickly as it entered, distorting economics again in the other direction. Those breweries who thought the good and easy times would last forever are in for a rude awakening. Do you agree or disagree?
I feel like that's like all the time.
I mean, we got a decade. Not just this year,
yeah.
Right.
I feel like when any brewery comes in, they're the hot, like in a town that doesn't have one, they instantly become the hottest thing in town. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, I mean, for the most part,
for the most part,
so, I could think of a few fail boats.
Okay. Wow.
What about you, Ed?
I don't know. That's a tricky one.
All right, what about 80% of 80% of the time?
That's fair.
Okay. 80% of the time, they become the hottest thing.
Are we going with Nick's point, or are we going with your point?
I mean, I agree. I think the new money will get out. They'll try to consolidate or at least sell parts to like, I agree with it. They're going to sell to the bigger dogs. And you know what's going to be crazy is that 2020, 2021, Mark Anthony Brands is going to have a fuck ton of money mm-hmm. to spend. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know if you ever heard of this thing called White Claw.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're making a lot of money.
Right.
What about you?
They're releasing
three
more.
You think
there's
going to be like a bubble? It's going to burst.
You know,
I don't know.
It's so hard to. I feel like the money's. I feel like there's just always more of it. like it's just been going that way for the last 40 years. And who knows, like, maybe, I don't know. I think it's so tied up in, like, broader economic trends that it's probably going to depend on so many things.
All right, the founder of Castle Island Brewing Company says the continued maturation of the category is going to force owners and leadership to get more organized, prepared, and professional. The pressures of consolidation, increased competition, and unpredictable end consumer will mark a decade of breweries having to evolve into real businesses if they want to find growth. Expectations are going to have to be more modest, plans more developed, and business practices more honed. Ultimately, I think we'll see the next decade separate out the survivors from the passers-by, largely based on the ability to run a strong business that also happens to make incredible beer.
I'd say yes.
I 100% agree.
I should hope so, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. The founder of Beer Business Daily says the drinker today looks towards something light in both alcohol and calories, but still cool. Tito's and soda accomplishes that. White Claw and Truly have found a way to put it in a can. While the last decade has been about big flavors, big alcohol content, and a cool story, the next decade will be about lower ABV, lower calories, and easy drinking. Story be damned. I mean, I think we all talked about it earlier when we were talking about Kolsch's pills, the overcorrection, in my opinion, but also being a little bit more health conscious. Like, yeah. I think people are not necessarily like Jenny Craig, Weight Watchers, you know, fad health conscious as much as just health conscious.
Right, what they're putting in their body
and
stuff. Yeah. I would say yes and no. I think that there is going to be that health conscious push, especially as like people are living longer and, you know, there's more and more diseases and stuff with all the shit we're putting in our bodies. But I still think people are going to seek out all the different tastes and the different flavors and the barrel ages and the juicy Inipas and stuff like that. I still think people are going to seek out a tasty beer. And that's not to say that you can't get a tasty beer out of, you know, a Kolsch or a lager or a Pils or all those, because you can.
Well, look,
but I'm just saying, like, I want, some, you know, I still like my barrel-aged beers and stuff like that.
Yeah, and that's going to be the, you know, I think a lot of people will save calories for those. But sure. I think you're going to start seeing, like, why Crankers is finding a huge market with their keto beer or the Woodshed B43 over at Old Nation. Like, there's markets for these low-calorie, low-carb, low-sugar beers that people want where you can get the full flavor,
right,
like
right.
a B43, or and still, like, he's saying say no to
no
it?
No to the energy drink.
Well, he's been doing full shots, though.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Full shots of zero proof.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, full. I mean, if you want to go back to the taste, he's getting that all that pepper and
oh,
all
yeah.
that. You know, we just got a little.
I'm here all for right. the raid. Founder of Dogfish Head, who also just sold. Growing demand for beers that are high in flavor and food compatibility but low in calories, fruit-infused sour beers, and low-cal IPAs are two categories we believe will go strong and many years to come.
Low-cal. And
fruit-infused sours.
Isn't that what a sour is now?
Not always,
but there's some people kind of doing that. Now,
yeah, but the growing trend. Can you go get a fruit infused sour over at Baffin?
No, you can't.
That's
you have to have a sour program though. That's like a whole.
Need to have a sour.
That's like a whole program.
You can still make a sour without having a sour program.
But is it gonna be good?
I don't know.
Well, I think that's sours. Yeah, you would think you just have to perfect like anything else.
I mean, we have
it's not in your wheelhouse.
What's our two big sour? We have Arclight sours, and we have
Holmes.
Holmes has a sour program. Yeah. Jolly Pumpkin has a sour program.
Pumpkin, yeah.
Batch is opening up their Funkatorium, which Brews is a sour. Yep. So, I mean, we've got a lot of sours here where, and you don't necessarily need to make a program. I think the low-cal IPAs is definitely right on the nose right there for the next decade.
Was that, you said Dogfish? So
that was Dogfish.
Food pair stuff?
Food pairing.
Because I think of Sam Adams, and it's ironic because they just
now
team
this
up.
Is Sam Calagione.
No, I'm saying Sam Adams.
Well, I mean, this is also Sam Adams.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. Like, they've really prided themselves on having food-paired beer, being able to, like, match up your shit.
All right, the owner of No Lie Brewhouse says the next decade will be about accelerated alcohol beverage category proliferation, brewer proliferation, consolidation, and ever-changing customer drinking habits. Beer was a traditional American alcohol beverage. American drinking habits have changed with 21 to 28-year-olds. The next decade will be about meeting and serving a new alcohol consumer.
Yep.
It's a very interesting way to put it because in a decade, people who are now 12, 13, about to enter high school or senior high, will be drinking legally.
In a decade.
In a decade.
Right.
Unless we raise the drinking age by then.
Well, we just raised the tobacco.
Yeah.
Tobacco age.
Yep. Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, the whole flavor, that whole generation. It's a complete generational change from the Gen Y to Gen Z. Isn't it Gen Y?
Gen Y got renamed Millennials.
Are we? No, Gen Y is between or after Gen after Millennials. Like millennials sandwiched between Gen X and Gen Y.
Gen Z.
X and Gen Z.
They renamed Gen Y to millennial.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Yeah. So there's Gen X, millennials. And then there's Gen Z, the Zoomers.
We needed our own special
the
name.
The Zoomers?
Yeah, the Zoomers is the new. Because they're fighting with the Boomers.
Basically, the rest of this talks about low-cal beverages. Which
I was
going to
say, it's very repetitive.
Yeah.
The last one, and this is from the Beer Institute, We started the decade with brewers fighting one another over what federal excise tax relief should look like, and we are ending the decade with an extension of federal excise tax relief from a bill that was passed 2 years ago. I think for us in the policy space, the next 10 years should be about making sure beer is America's beverage of choice. The industry has no collectively and individually, the industry has to collectively and individually act to keep beer popular, and that is not a done deal if we don't do anything.
America.
I think what we need to see, at least in Michigan, even is a alcohol, spirits, and beverage, not union but guild
alliance.
Yeah, that would be like someone who will, you know, with the proper money, everyone funneling money into it via you know whatever they can. Where much more than just what the Brewers Guild needs, because in regard, like, you're fighting the MLCC and you need not only the wine makers but the distillers in there,
right,
to change a lot of laws, because a lot of laws just don't affect beer. It also affects all of liquor, all of distribution. So we need some type of alliance, I think, that that will fix a lot of the issues in Michigan, because Michigan just has a lot of issues in regards to laws. And the guild, hopefully, you know, they just announced 4 new members of the guild. So hopefully one of them, you know, some of them start working towards some new updates, and we don't get the industry, you know, just the status quo.
Right.
That's going to do it for us. Better on Draft Jai, January, episode number 1. We have, in fact, drank absolutely nothing, and I'm still tripping over my words, so now you know that it's not because of alcohol. I'm going to do this shot. This is the Hackamore.
I'm so glad I'm not doing this.
Energy shot. I have no idea what this is going to taste like, but it looks like it's N and I, so
right.
Cheers.
Cheers.
I know, you got to drive home, right?
Yeah, I do. I got to go to Target later. Not Target, Meijer.
That's not that bad.
It
almost
was better than the other two things we took a shooter of.
It kind of almost tastes like a more bland 5-hour energy.
I've never had those, but
I've had plenty of them in my life.
5-hour energy.
They say there's no crash, but there's definitely a crash, and I know how to what time to drink it to have the proper crash at the end.
How long is that? Because I got to drive.
For the dark one, I always did it like if I wanted to go to bed at 3 a.m. because I wanted to stay up, I would take one at 9 p.m., the black one.
Okay.
And
okay. So 6 hours.
Six hours.
Yeah,
and
six
I would,
hour
5 hours of energy, 1 hour of like,
shit.
And out like light.
Yeah.
Casamara Club, they can find you on Instagram, Facebook. What's the website?
CasamaraClub.com.
And you can actually buy it online. Do you ship to all 50 states?
Most, yeah. I think all 50 states.
At least the 48?
Yeah. I don't know about Alaska and Hawaii. I apologize to all of our fans out there.
That's going to do it for us. Better on Draft Dry January. Don't forget to check out our sponsors, Michigan Beer Box, North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan, Zatuna Liquor, the Ferndale Set. And no matter what you think of your non-alcoholic beer, we think it's Better on Draft. Have a good night.
Peace.